Exodus 13, verses 17 through 22. Here again, God's holy word. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Amen. Ranger School is the premier leadership school in the United States Army. Soldiers from around the Army will go to Fort Benning, Georgia, and they'll conduct 64 straight days of infantry, small unit, simulated combat patrols, raids, reconnaissance, ambush, all those types of things. And one of the things that a ranger student, the squad leader, the patrol leader for along these missions, one of the things that they have to do is to navigate terrain, to go from point A to point B. And to that end, in every patrol, a leader has to pick a point man who actually takes the plan, finds the route, and then on the ground, walking through the woods, actually executes that, has his compass out, has his map, decides where to cross the creek, this way or that, which would be better, which mountains to go around or which mountains to go over. And it's very, very critical that you have a good point man. And I remember going through the mountain phase in North Georgia. And in my platoon, there was one man that when they rotated the leadership, every new squad leader, every new patrol leader always picked him to be the point man because he was really good. He was really good with the compass. He knew how to read a map. And he didn't lead us down crazy routes. We all wet feet and were really tired. He was very good. And I realized that you're not a ranger student, you're not in the Army. But if you look at your life and the fact that you go through the terrain of your life and you decide, you make many decisions. You're going to go left with your life, you're going to go right with your life. And all of us have a great need to have a good point man. We need a good point man who's going to lead us in the right way, down the right path. Think about it. All the decisions that you make, where you're going to go to church, how you're going to parent your kids, who you're going to marry. Maybe you have questions this morning that are more fundamental than that. Maybe you're still wrestling with who am I? Who is God? Is the Bible true? Is all this real? Maybe you're there. In all cases, you need a point man. You need a leader. And this morning, we see something of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he leads his people. We come to this passage in Exodus, and you'll need to know and recall that God's people are almost exclusively bound to the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. They've been in Egypt for many years. They've been slaves. And God has brought them out with 10 mighty plagues. And we just recently have read and looked at the Exodus, where they come out of Egypt. And in this text, we actually see their journey, the beginning of their journey, and the Lord's leading of them. And the lesson we learned this morning is quite simple, is that the Lord Jesus wisely, faithfully, and tenderly leads his people. The Lord Jesus wisely, faithfully, and tenderly leads his people. And I'll look at this lesson under 3 points. He leads us wisely, he leads us faithfully, and he leads us tenderly. Look with me at verse 17, our first point this morning. He leads us wisely. Verse 17 and 18 read, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines." Well, that was near. "But God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." Now, what's in view here is the fact that the Lord knows his people. He knows them very well. Because he knows them very well, he's made a decision here. See, the land of Philistia, the Philistines, they were a mighty nation. They were a warlike nation. Israel had not yet been trained in war. They had not. They had just become free. I'm not even sure exactly if they have weapons. They're not prepared for war. They're not ready for that. The Lord has an eye upon his people's strength. Whether or not they can endure this trial. Whether or not they can endure this trial. Now, it's not as if this is not pertinent to us. You know, the phrase here, lest perhaps the people change their minds. I want you to think about the fact that you go through a lot of different trials in your life. The Lord, Jesus, providentially controls all things in your life. And you face situations where you're not sure if you can handle it. And the Lord does not present something to you, a situation in your life that you cannot handle. That's what this is teaching us. He's wise. Think about Philippians chapter 4 and what Paul says there. It's a very famous passage of scripture that's not always understood well. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Okay, I'll read the context there. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And in that context, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The lot that God has put in my life, I can endure." You are in the kitchen. You woke up. You didn't have your devotion, ladies, that morning. Your kids are screaming. You have diapers you need to change. You have a headache. Your husband comes home from work and he's grumpy. Doesn't really help you. And you want to pull your hair out. And what this text is teaching you is that the Lord knows you. He knows your strength. And you can do it. You can endure that situation. You can be faithful in that situation. "I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me." You are suffering the loss of a loved one. And you're mourning. And your heart is broken. And then you discover that you've lost your job. Oh, and by the way, you have an illness that's going to take a great deal of financial means at the hospital. Can you do it? Is this lot too much for you? "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And you know that's true because here is the Lord. He knows his people. He knows their strength. And he's not leading them into a situation that they can't endure. He's wise. Now, I want to, from these two verses here, verses 17 and 18, also kind of mention two other things that are related to this. In case you're doubting whether or not the Lord Jesus is really leading you in a wise manner. Now, you can read this sentence here and wonder if God really knows all things. Psalm 139 talks about God's omniscience. He knows all things. He knows the thoughts of our hearts. Such knowledge, the psalmist says, is too wonderful for me. But here is this verse. The phrase says, lest perhaps, this is God speaking, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Now, I'm not sure why the New King James puts the word perhaps there. The sense of I don't know is too strong. Okay, God knows all things. He's not just infinitely wise. He's infinitely knowledgeable. Now, what this language here, it's a anthropomorphism. Okay? That's a fancy word to say that God condescends to our level of knowledge, our level of capacity to understand. John Calvin writes a very helpful and fairly famous statement in his Institutes on this regard. He says, "For who, even of slight intelligence, does not understand that, as nurses commonly do with infants, God is wont in a measure to lisp in speaking to us? Thus, such forms of speaking do not so much express clearly what God is like as accommodate the knowledge of Him to our slight capacity." That's what we have here. We have an accommodation to our finite knowledge. God is wise in Himself. I want you to see also, secondly, in case you're doubting whether or not God is really wise and the Lord Jesus is wise in how He leads your life, think about His plan. So you're Israel, okay, and you're thinking, okay, it's going to take 2 weeks to get to the Promised Land. About 2 weeks, go straight line distance. And here they are. The text says, so God, verse 18, so God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And we don't know all the exact locations of the Red Sea crossing. And there's some discussion on exactly where, you know, Etham and Succoth are and all those different places. That's not the point. This is not a straight line distance travel. They're going to go through the wilderness. And God's people are probably thinking, okay, is this really the wisest plan? But you have to think about what God has in store, what His real plan is. Is His plan merely to get them into the Promised Land? Or is He going to train them up? Is He going to grow them as a people, as a nation? Do they have great faith? Do they have strong faith? Do they have need of strengthening, of growing? Think about this. Deuteronomy 8 helps us understand a little bit of God's wisdom here. Not going in a straight line, but taking them through the wilderness to sanctify them as a people, to grow them up. Deuteronomy 8, Moses is speaking in verse 3, says, so He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that a man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Verse 2, before that, says this, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. What I'm saying to you, dear brethren, this morning is that God wants you. He wants you to be like Jesus. He's forming Christ in you. He's shaping you to be more and more like Christ. And you go through trials to that end. Just as God has a trial, He has a time for His people to grow. The psalmist says, we sing in Psalm 84:11. You withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. You're going through a trial in your life now, and you need to know that the Lord is wise even in that trial, because He's shaping you. He's using that in your life to make you more like His Son. The Lord Jesus wisely leads us. He also leads us faithfully. It's an idea that's similar to His wisdom, but it is a bit different. And I want you to see that, secondly, from verse 19. He faithfully leads us. That's my second point. Now, verse 19 says, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. Now, the idea that we learn here, think about it. Joseph functioned like a prophet, much like Abraham, at least to some extent. God had told Abraham, listen, your descendants are going to go into Egypt. They're going to be there for many years. They're going to be slaves, and I'm going to bring you up. But He told Joseph something more specific. Your bones are going to be buried in the promised land. So Joseph said, listen to me. The Lord's going to visit you. And when he does, I want you to take my bones and I want you to bury me in the promised land. And so here's this coffin that's been in Egypt with the people of God in Goshen for all these years. And, you know, parents have told their kids, oh, yeah, that's Father Joseph's bones, because the Lord's going to visit us and we're going to come out of here. And here they are. OK, here they are leaving Egypt. And there Moses has Joseph's bones. And the question before Israel is, you know, if the Lord is faithful to Joseph to fulfill his promise, to fulfill his word, well, maybe he'll be faithful to us also. Think about the one of the things that the Lord has told his people just in the previous chapter, or in the previous verses, chapter 13, verse 5. Moses is telling the people, "And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month." You're going to go into to the promised land. I'm going to drive the inhabitants out before you. And oh, by the way, this land is a beautiful land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. The Lord is faithful. He's faithful. In fact, Joshua 23:14. So this is after they've come in and they've basically conquered the land of Canaan. And Joshua tells this to the people. Joshua 23:14. "Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth." He's about to die. "And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed." And in chapter 24 of Joshua, verse 32, they actually bury Joseph's bones in Shechem. Old Faithful is a popular attraction in Yellowstone National Park in northwest Wyoming. You can still today, 147 years after it was discovered by American explorers, you can go there and observe the geyser shoot up boiling hot water at a very consistent interval. It's not the tallest or largest geyser in the park, but it is the most reliable. Eruptions are now coming between intervals of 65 to 91 minutes, depending on the size of the previous eruption, but never outside of this range. And because it is faithful, I've read that tourists will go to it and wait on it for some time because they know that it will erupt within this interval of time. It's very faithful. And my brother, what I want you to think about to you is the promises that the Lord Jesus has made to you. Okay, you're going through life, you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's times where we waver in faith and we wonder, is his word really true? Is he trustworthy? Is he dependable? Is he dependable? When I pray, do I have in prayer really a means of peace from anxiety? Is it true, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus? Is that true? Is that true? Kids, children, is it really a blessing to honor your parents? Honor your father and your mother. For this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long upon the earth. Is the Sabbath day, is it really a blessing? If I so order my life to where on the Lord's day I can devote my time to worship him, is that really going to benefit me? The Lord's made a promise to you. He's blessed the Sabbath. Listen, think about what your heart desires. Where do you get joy? Where do you get contentment? Is it from your reputation? Is it from your career? Is it from money? The Bible has told you, God has told you, in your presence, the psalmist says in Psalm 16, in your presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy, happiness, contentment comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's true. It's a promise. He's faithful. He's faithful to his word, just as he was faithful to Joseph. This is what the bones of Joseph mean to us. He leads us faithfully. But thirdly, and a slightly different idea really, we see in verses 20 through 22, not just that he wisely leads us and that he faithfully leads us, but he leads us tenderly. That's what we learn in verses 20 through 22, and I'll read that to you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham, the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. So as to go by day and night, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now what I mean to say when I say that the Lord Jesus tenderly leads us, what we have in this passage of Scripture is we have a token, a visible, physical manifestation of God's presence and therefore His blessing upon the people and with the people. We have this pillar. This a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It's one pillar. It's a visible manifestation of God's presence. And that's with His people. And this goes to comfort them. It goes to assure them that the Lord is with them. The God who brought them out of the land of Egypt is with them. He's guiding them. Yes, go the way of the Red Sea. Because that's where the Lord's taken us. He's a condescending, not so much to their strength, but to their faith. He has an eye to comfort them. He knows their faith is weak. And so He gives this visible manifestation. Now, I've been saying this whole time, my sermon lesson is that the Lord Jesus wisely, faithfully, and tenderly leads His people. And I do want you to see that. And I don't mean there was a time where of course, the Son of God became man. But this is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. This is a manifestation of God's presence with His people. Notice that the text refers to it as a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. In verse 19 of chapter 14, it says, it refers to this pillar as the angel of God. So verse 19 of that chapter says that, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. But it's interesting to pay attention to how Moses describes this pillar. Because in our passage, in verse 21, he says this, and the Lord went before them. The Lord went before them. If I haven't convinced you, one of the reasons why we read 1 Corinthians 10, the premier reason, is because this is how Paul understands the pillar. This pillar of glory, what would become what's called the Shekinah glory that would fill the tabernacle and fill the temple, manifestation of God's presence. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says it's Christ in two places. This is the good and necessary consequence that we find so helpful in our interpretation of Scripture and discovery of doctrine. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted. This is how Paul sees the pillar. Again, John Calvin writes, our Heavenly Father and then led the Israelites only by the hand of His only begotten Son. Now, since He is the eternal guardian of His church, Christ is not less truly present with us now by His power than He was formerly manifest to the fathers. Now, suppose, and I've asked this question too, so suppose you've asked the question, well, it actually is, that's different than now. Because then, you know, they actually could see this cloud. I mean, you know, wouldn't it be kind of strange? But think with it. You know, if you go to work tomorrow, a cloud follows you in the car. It's kind of silly. You know, maybe it would have been helpful if, as I drove my family from South Carolina across the country over to California, maybe it would have been helpful. But, oh, well, there it is. You know, there's
Lord's, this is what I'm supposed to do.
But I would say this, that it's actually now much more clear that God's tokens to us that He's with us. His way of comforting us now is much better than it was then. It's actually much better now. Again, one commentator writes, His presence with His people may no longer be marked by a pillar of cloud and fire. There is rather the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, living with and in the believer on whom the Spirit of glory and of God rests. In this way, those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God and keep in step with the Spirit in their journey through this life. Think about what the Lord Jesus told His disciples in John 16. It is better for me. Okay, the premier manifestation of God. He who was God and is God, there before His disciples, and He's telling them, it is better for me to go. It's more advantageous to you that I might send my Spirit. Well, who are we? I've said the last few weeks a few things from this pulpit on who we are. One of the ways that Paul describes who Christians are, we're led by the Spirit of God. All these who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And I want you to think a little bit about how the Lord Jesus, by His Spirit, tenderly leads you. Think about it. Think about the Holy Spirit for a moment. Have you ever been reading Scripture? And by the ministry of the Spirit, become convinced that the Lord Jesus, that God through His Word is speaking to you. He's confirming something in your life. It's not something magical. I want to be clear here. I think that Christians at times can go astray. They can think they're following the Holy Spirit, and they're really just following their own notions. They can say flippantly that maybe they've prayed about something, you know, for a few nights, just kind of as they go to sleep, and they go, well, I think the Lord really wants me to do this. And they haven't actually sought His will from the Scriptures. Now, the Holy Spirit works through the Scriptures. That's why we sang Psalm 119, to kind of think about that. That's why we focus on preaching. We encourage you all to read your Bible. But without the Holy Spirit, we would not actually be comforted. We would not actually be assured. Have you ever been reading your Bible and had a sense that God was speaking to you through His Word? I remember, and this is just coincidence, okay, quote unquote, the day after one of certainly in my recent years, the greatest trial that I've faced. Just coincidence. Reading a passage of Scripture that directly spoke to the issue of suffering and the reminder of the prophets in the Old Testament who suffered and the reminder of the Lord Jesus Christ, the premier prophet who suffers. And just a reminder. It was a reminder to just live by faith. And it was like the Holy Spirit was coming alongside me. He said, I love you. I'm with you. You're going to be okay. Have you ever been listening to the preaching of God's Word and walked out thinking to yourself, the Lord has spoken to me? It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Paul says to the Thessalonians, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. Do you think much about the Holy Spirit? He's with you. He's leading you. The Spirit of Christ. The Lord Jesus is very tender. He tenderly leads His people. The Lord Jesus wisely, faithfully, and tenderly leads His people. And my question for you as I close my message this morning, my question that I want you to ponder is, are you following Him? That's the question. Are you following Him? You may be here, and you may be wrestling fundamentally with religion, the whole question of religion. And I want you to see what the Scriptures say about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you need to do is you need to turn to Him and follow Him. And congregation, my dear congregation, I want you to think about, I'm not talking about things that you have questions about. You know, well, what does the Lord say about this and that? I want you to think about if there's anything in your life where you know you're not following Christ. And I want you to know something. You have a great need to turn, to repent, to change your mind. And I bring that to your mind. I want you to think about that. But I want you to think about this as well. Jesus Christ is the best point man. He's the best point man out there. Do you see something of the glory of Christ? He's a good leader. Follow Him. Follow Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we give You thanks for Your Son. You are a gracious God. You are a loving God. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would encourage us by Your Spirit, that You would enable us by Your Spirit to follow Jesus Christ. Help us all to see all of His beauty as that good leader, as that faithful and good shepherd of the sheep. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.